you missed last week, you didn't miss anything in Peter. We finished up Bible school, and so we, like the kiddos, took a look at the church, kind of an overview, to say the least. But we're back in 1 Peter chapter 2 today. Read with me. We really need to start in verse 1, and we'll read through verse 5, okay? 1 Peter 2, 1 through 5. Peter said, "So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good." Verse 4, "As you come to Him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." This is actually the third point of a three-point sermon, okay, that's been spread out over 3 weeks, okay? So we're at the third point. If you were with us, the first 2 points, the first one was cleaning the house. That's what Peter is saying in verse 1. That's why we read it. So put away, you know, that which you say to your kiddos and maybe to your husband. I don't know what it is. So put up your stuff, okay? So put it away. That's what he's saying. Put away all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander. So put it away. Clean up the house. And then he says that we are to consume the milk. As newborn infants, we desire the pure spiritual milk. And this morning, we're going to conclude that three-part, consigned to be a living stone. Consigned to be a living stone. If you'll remember, in chapter 1, Peter told us about salvation, and we spent weeks and weeks and weeks, and it would have taken years and years and years more to even get to the bottom of this great salvation. But we heard Peter telling us about this wonderful thing called salvation. We spent all those weeks there. In chapter 2, then, what Peter is doing is telling us about the reality of living in that salvation, with all of the responsibilities and all the challenges that salvation presents as we are being sanctified in this process of salvation that is being poured out in our lives. You see, the reason for that is that Peter knew, as new creatures in Christ Jesus, even though we are forgiven of all of our sin, even though we are in relationship with Jehovah God, we are His children, we are His heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Even though we are indwelt by the sanctifying Holy Spirit, even though we are destined to be glorified, guaranteed, promised, as if it's already done, even with all that salvation is, we still live in a sin-cursed world. We still live in a world that is controlled by the prince of the power of the air, who is Satan himself, as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, roaming about seeking whom he may devour. So we still live in a sin-cursed world controlled by the prince of the power of the air, Satan. And in all of that, we also practice sin for many, many years. So that's what's going on. And so Peter has turned in chapter 2, clean up the house, consume the milk, the pure spiritual milk, and today consigned to be a living stone. That's what we're going to focus on this morning, this idea of being consigned to being a living stone. Now, I don't know if other parts of the country have this habit or not, but probably do, I just don't know about it. But around here, a habit that we have is auctions. Anybody been to an auction? All right, look at you, see? We're addicted, aren't we? Okay. my good neighbor across the road there, Bob, he's addicted to auctions. The first time when I met Bob, he said, "You want to go to an auction? You want to go to an auction?" And he's an auction guy. But many of the rest of us are too. We know what an auction is. And what an auction is that there is somebody or some bodies that consign objects to be auctioned off. That's what an auction is. You'll never see one. There's going to be an auction. Well, you wouldn't go to that. You don't know what's going to be there. But there will be a sale bill or something like that, and the following consignments are made. And so what you know when you look at that is, I'm going to go to that sale, and those things are going to be there. All right? So that's this idea of consign, plus it starts with a C and goes with cleaning and consuming. That helped too, okay? All right. So that's the idea behind the... If you wonder, where in the world did you get that? That's where I got it. All right. Now, look at verse 4. We are consigned to be a living stone. That's where it's going. That's what's going to happen. Verse 4, Peter says, as you come to Him. As you come to Him. Of course, the you there is those who are in Christ Jesus. Those who have been caused to be born again to a living hope. All right? And Him should be a capital H, okay? That is Christ and Christ alone. As you come to Him, Peter said. Well, what does this coming to Him mean? You think, well, good land, don't you ever go beyond a word? No. Because that word as there is just packed with meaning. As you come to Him. So what does this mean? Come with the idea of remaining. Come with the idea of remaining, not just coming to Him to get what you want or think you need at a particular time, to then return to back to what you were doing and knowing that you can come back to Him if you need to. That's not what He's saying. He's not saying come and then go back to what you were doing, and then if things get tight or tough again, you can come back again. No, the idea here is as you come with the idea of remaining. You're not leaving as you come to Him. Now, in the world in which we live today, the idea of salvation goes with that false idea that as you come, you can leave and then come back again. Because the idea that is in most folks' minds is that, you know, if I get in a tight spot, you know, if the bills aren't paid, if my husband's leaving, whatever it is that's going on, well, I'll go get Jesus. I'll go to Him, and then He'll fix it, and then I'll go back to doing what I want to do and you know, live life and have a good time. That is not salvation, folks. That is not salvation. Salvation is as you come to Him, you remain in Him. Do you get the idea? So, I don't know, something I'm bumping into out there today, you may have heard this. Jesus has this. You ever heard anybody say that? You know, something happens or they do something or something. Jesus has this. Well, I want to challenge that, okay? Because that communicates the idea that I've got a life going on over here and this whatever happened in my life and I can't handle it, so Jesus has this. Folks, Jesus doesn't have this. Jesus has you if you're in Christ Jesus. So what Peter is talking about here is as you come to Him, the idea is that you are remaining in Him. You're not going back to something else. You're not going back to something else. Do you remember when Jesus said over there in John 15, I think it is? Jesus called this same thing, coming to Him, as abiding in Him. Jesus said, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Remember? So the idea that Peter is communicating here, Jesus has already brought up. In fact, the tense in the Greek communicates a continually drawing near to Him. Not coming and then leaving and then coming back. No, none of that. For he and he alone has the pure spiritual milk that Peter said that we long for. And how that contrasts with that idea that's out there in the world today that you can come, get what you need, go back. You see, when we have a pain in our life now, we go to the doctor, all right? Or the dentist or whomever, okay? And you go to the doctor, and the idea is you go to the doctor and he's going to fix it. Or she's going to fix it. And they're going to take care of the pain. Well, you don't stay at the doctor's office, do you? You go back home. But that is not the Christian life. Whatever it is, we come to him, he takes care of it, and we stay with him. You see, when you come to the great physician, he heals you of all sin, and you ever remain in him. That's New Testament Christianity. This other cultural whatever that's going on, that you go and, you know, then you go back to it. There's nothing like that in the Scripture. This is all or nothing. You never leave the great physician once you come to him. All right, so second thing that grabs hold of us, who are we coming to? Who are we coming to? Now, be careful as you read verse 4. As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. If you're not careful, you will read you into that phrase. All right? As you come to him, a living stone, okay? It's not that you are a living stone, at least not yet. It's him, Christ Jesus, who is the living stone. So who are we coming to? Christ and Christ alone. And be careful as you read that because it can be confusing. We're involved here, but not yet. Okay, we'll be there in just a second. The living stone is Christ and Christ alone, rejected by men, just what Peter is saying here. As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men. Jesus came to his own, and his own did what? Rejected him, received him not, the word says. Okay? And Jesus Christ, in the sight of God, is the chosen one, the precious one, the only begotten of the Father, the gift that the Father gave to redeem those that he has called to this great salvation. So, the living stone, singular, is Jesus. Now, we're up. Verse 5. You yourselves like living stone. You get it? There is a living stone, the living stone, and then there are living stones, plural, more than one. That's us. We're in at this point. So he said, as you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house. So, in union with Christ Jesus, as we come to him, our purpose, our function, is that of a living stone. Now, this metaphor gets a little bit, you know, and Peter uses several of those, if you'll notice, okay? That's why we spend our time here on Sunday mornings, okay, to let Peter tell us, but he's using these metaphors to do it. Like the living stone, we as living stones, we are also precious in his sight and chosen by him. Okay? That's important. Hence, we are chosen and precious to the Father. We are born again to a living hope. We too, hang on here, will be rejected by men and women. Not because necessarily of what you're doing or not doing, but just because of who you are. That's why we're rejected. If the living stone was rejected, the living stones who come to him will also be rejected. In fact, I would go so far, folks, if you are not rejected by those who are yet to believe and the world system, whatever you want to call it, there's a problem. If the world embraces you and holds on to you and clings to you and wants to be involved in your life and invites you over too and all that kind of stuff, I think I would be asking some questions there. If the world loves you, then it's because you are like the world. Jesus said, "Marvel not if the world hates you, because it hated me first." So if you're being rejected, if you're being hated, if you're trying to fit in with, and they just won't accept you, I think I would step back, bow my head, raise my hands, whatever, and praise God that they don't see me like them. That, you follow that? All right. So we're going to be rejected by men, but listen, in the sight of God, we too, just like the living stone, are precious to Him. Now, I can't get my mind around that one. He knows your name. He knows your name. That's a big deal. Have you ever thought about intercessory prayer? We'll mention that here a little bit later on, okay? Intercessory on Sunday nights, on Sunday mornings, 6:15, 5:30, there's a group of people, Andy calls it the ping in his life, okay? Talk to him about that if you want to, okay? But it's those two times, we begin the day, we end the day, and do you know what we do when we get together? Those of us who gather, we talk about you all. We do, yeah? We're hollering out your name. We're calling out your name. I look around here across these rows and all, and there's not very many of you that haven't been talked about on Sunday morning or Sunday night. Right, Cheryl? Okay. Do you know what we're doing? We are gathering in the name of Jesus Christ and praying intercessorily for those that He has given us to know about or has put on our hearts to pray over. And literally what we're doing is we're calling your name out into the throne room of heaven. The Scripture says, "Come boldly to the throne room that you may receive grace to help in time of need." And so we're walking into God's throne room and we're saying, "God, Bud Sherman. Bud Sherman." Now, can you think of anybody you'd rather hear your name than him? You think, "You've been kind of strange today." I don't care what you call it. That's called intercessory prayer. Jesus, our great intercessor, is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's interceding for you. And so when we meet to pray, as in intercessory prayer, we're calling out your name. You say, "Well, you know, that's not really socially correct." I don't care. If your name is being called out, it's being called out because of some crisis probably in your life, health crisis or whatever. And if you want me to stop, just tell him to take me home. But as long as I'm here, I'm going to pray for you by name. You don't pray, "God save all the lost people." Have you ever prayed that? Don't raise your hand. Okay. All right. "God save all the lost people." Well, first of all, it ain't going to happen. Okay. "It's God's will that none perish, but all come to repentance, but all are not going to come to repentance." Who's in that line at the great white throne judgment if they are? You see? And so when we call out the name of an individual who is yet to believe, it is for the purpose that they believe. Prayer, we're going to spend a little bit more time with prayer in just a minute. You'll see where it fits in, okay? But anyway, we're going to keep calling your name, all right? If you don't want us to call out your name to God, you tell us. And we'll just say, "That guy that doesn't want us to." That's who you'll be. All right. All right. What do we do when we come to Him? As you come to Him, what do we do? We're going to fulfill our purpose and function. That's what Peter's talking about here. You see, our purpose is to be living stones. There is the living stone. Read it with me again. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. Now that gets deep in a hurry. We fulfill our purpose of being living stones in the spiritual house. That's what he's saying here. Wow, okay. What's the spiritual house? In the Old Testament, the spiritual house was the temple. First, it was the tabernacle, literally a tent, that the Israelites literally packed up and carried to the next stopping place, stopped, got out the tent, put it back up, okay? And they did that for 40-some years. Because they wouldn't go in when God said, go in and possess the land. They said, giants in the land. All right, take another lap around Mount Sinai, guys. For 40 years they wandered around in the wilderness, putting up the tent, taking down the tent, putting up the tent, taking down the tent, okay? The spiritual house that they were putting up and taking out was the place that God resided with them. Because in that tabernacle, that tent, was a place called the Holy of Holies, and in that Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant. And so they literally were carrying God with them as they went through the wilderness. Now, eventually, they're going to go into the promised land. They're going to conquer the land. They're going to build a temple. Okay? Solomon's going to build a temple, and it's going to be one fine place. But the Ark of the Covenant's going back into the Holy of Holies because that was God's house, and that was God present with them. Do you get the idea of what's going on here now? Because what he's saying is, built up as a spiritual house, the stones, the living stones, are being put in place for this spiritual house. So now those who come to him become the temple of the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus promised, I'm going away, but if I go away, I'll send another like me. And when he comes, he, capital H, he, God the Holy Spirit, he will be in you. And Paul said to the Corinthians over there, he said, know you not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? So this spiritual house is really our purpose as living stones. That's what's going on here. So as living stones, we have a function to go with our purpose, and that's to be, read it with me, to be a holy priesthood. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. Getting a little deeper, all right? You're a priest. Can I say that? Will the Catholics or Mormons or somebody strike me down because I said that? Okay? You are a holy priesthood. That's the function that we're to have. The priests in the Old Testament were of the tribe of Levi. Don't get caught up in the before Levi deal. Don't go there, okay? But basically the tribe of Levi, the priestly tribe, the descendants there were the ones who offered the sacrifices that the people brought for their sins. And usually it was a bull or a ram or something like that, and they would literally cut the throat of the animal, the blood would pour out on the altar, and that person then would offer that sacrifice that they brought to pay for their sins. And this went on all the time. And just in case they missed one time a year, the high priest would take a goat, and would put the sins of all the people that hadn't been sacrificed for on this goat and send him out into the wilderness as a sacrifice. He's a scapegoat. You've heard of that? That's what was going on there. I mean, folks, they had to look at it every sin at a time. Maybe we missed one. So they did the scapegoat thing there at the end of the year. And so the priest in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, were those who went to God on behalf of the people that were offering sacrifices. Without a priest, there's no way for you to get your sins forgiven in the Old Covenant. They had to have the priest. The priests are the ones who went to God on behalf of the people. And the sacrifices had to be made. Now Peter is telling us, we are a holy priesthood in that, keep going with me, in that we offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God. I told you it's going to get deep. It just continues to get deep. So, you're a living stone. You are a holy priesthood, individually a holy priest, okay, in the eyes of God. And you now, Peter is telling us, have a purpose, and that is a function to offer spiritual sacrifices. Now, we're not talking about Old Testament cut the throat of the lamb time, okay? But we are talking about spiritual sacrifices. We're a holy priesthood, and we offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God, he said, through Jesus Christ. What is acceptable to God? Probably need to answer that first, don't we? Is everything acceptable to God? No. Okay? We know that. We go back to the Old Testament, Cain and Abel. Okay? First two guys off the boat. Not literally, I'll confuse everybody. The ark occurred before, No. My figure of language, okay? Cain and Abel. Adam and Eve's sons. The first two. Only two, it wasn't a nation, all that kind of stuff, okay? Well, Abel brought a blood sacrifice and offered it to God. And God received his sacrifice. Cain brought a grain sacrifice, okay? And God rejected that sacrifice. Cain got mad because of it, killed Abel. All right? What was wrong with Cain's sacrifice? It wasn't a blood sacrifice. Okay? And you get the idea after we learn a little bit more about Cain. Yeah, I'm not giving God that, you know. Man, I'm not giving him that sheep over there. That's the best one I got. I'm not giving him that. Give him a couple scoops of grain. Okay, that's what I'll do. Do you think that God didn't know the heart of Cain? Of course he did. Of course he did. So what is acceptable to God? The first sacrifices that were being made, one was acceptable, one wasn't. So what is acceptable to God? I want to know that. I want to know what God finds acceptable. First of all, it's not bulls and sheep and goats and that kind of thing. Because Peter clearly says it's a what? Spiritual sacrifice. So this isn't stuff. This is not objects. This isn't some physical act. What could we give him that he doesn't already have? But you know what? So often today, we want to bring something physical, hoping to appease him, and bribe him so he will do something we want him to do in our lives. See that box back by the door? We never mentioned the box, Andy. You know, that's almost like that Ark of the Covenant almost, okay? We never mentioned the box, okay? A good reason for that, okay? We don't care about the box. All right? And we don't care really what goes in it. We're not going to hassle you and manipulate you and all stuff, put something in the box. If there's something in the box, there's something in the box. If there's nothing in the box, there's nothing in the box. So we've never, you know, you unbutton your billfold pocket, and you can also, ladies, just set your purse there beside you. We're not going to come and rob your money. Okay? There's a reason for that. We don't need it. And we checked with God. He doesn't need it either. He's not broke. You don't know how liberating it is to be a part of a church where you have to go into the banker and say, Mr. Banker, God's doing something down at our place and he can't pay for it. Can we borrow the money to do it from you? Now, I'm not being a smart aleck here, folks. This sacrifice is not money. But the number of folks I have bumped into through the years who will put money in a box or an offering plate, or who will write some big check to the church, you know, hoping that God's going to cover their backside on something they did over here that they shouldn't have been doing. That's not what he's talking about, because it's not something physical like money or buildings or stuff. It's a spiritual sacrifice. You see it? If you've done something wrong, the only thing that's going to cover that wrong is the blood of Jesus Christ, not the amount of money you may give to bribe the church, the pastor, whomever. All right? Enough said about that. All right. Peter says it's a spiritual sacrifice that is acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, this is what you and I are going to do and be as living stones. This is about us here. Peter says so. The spiritual sacrifice, I guarantee you, has to be like those sacrifices in the Old Testament that were without spot or blemish. Now, how do you get something that's without spot or blemish in 2017? If it's not a goat, or a sheep, or a bull. You put the precious blood of Jesus Christ on it. And then it is without spot or blemish. So whatever you bring as a holy priesthood and offer to Him as a spiritual sacrifice, it's covered by the blood, and that sacrifice is without spot or blemish. Now, I got too far down the road there, okay, but I liked it. Okay. You see, our intercessor, Jesus Christ, who is seated where? The right hand of the Father, okay? He is making intercession for us as we make intercession for each other. Hang on, we're going deeper, okay? So what is it? What is this spiritual sacrifice offered by living stones who are a holy priesthood? Put some handles on it. What's he talking about? Well, Paul helps us a little bit in Romans 12:1. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual act of worship. Now, we mixed a little ESV and King James together there, but it says the same thing either place. All right? So, the sacrifice that we're making, present your bodies as living sacrifices. Did you catch that? A sacrifice is not living, it's dead when they offered it on the altar because his throat was cut. Rather, what Paul is talking about, and I marvel at the way that Peter plays off Paul. I mean, every time I turn around, you say, I've heard that somewhere. It's Paul that said it. That's, you know, you'll find that too. But Paul helps us there. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices. Now, a living sacrifice has to be someone who's not about themselves. And Jesus said it up front, if you're going to come after me, you have to deny self, die to self, and follow me. Do you see how it all fits together? The best commentary on the Word is the Word. And then it continues. We'll just throw this one in. Okay, you don't pay for this. Do not be conformed to this world, Paul says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Probably the most asked question that I know in Christendom, at least from my experiences and from yours, no doubt, is what's God's will? What's God's will about this? I want to know God's will. Good, good, that's good. Okay? Well, Paul tells us here how to don't be conformed to this world. That's a prerequisite. If you're going to go out here and live like the world and do what the world does and participate the world and sin when you want to and those kind of things, forget knowing the will of God. He is not going to show you or tell you. The first thing he's going to show you is stop that. You're not going to know the will of God because what Paul is telling you is don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You get it now? Huh? You want to know God's will? Walk with Him. Walk with Him. He'll reveal. You won't even have to ask Him what your will is. If you're walking with Him, His will not be a mystery to you. You're a living sacrifice, is what Peter's saying. All right, that helps, okay? But what are these spiritual sacrifices? I think it comes down to two, okay? One of them is praise. Praise is a spiritual sacrifice. All right? Praise is praising Him, not each other or ourselves. It's praising. We understand that, don't we? Praising Him. You say, how do you know that? Well, I checked over to the end, okay? And that's all we're going to be doing in eternity. Or not all, but that's it. Praising Him. So if that's what we're going to be doing then, why wouldn't we be practicing it now? You get it? So one of the sacrifices, the spiritual sacrifice, and certainly praise is spiritual, is praise to Him. And wouldn't the best person to offer praise to God be one who is covered by the blood of His only begotten Son? You think He might take that? Huh? I don't think that anybody who's not covered by the blood could or would praise Him. All right? So, spiritual sacrifices, one of them at least, is praise. The second one, I think, is prayer. Now fasten your seatbelts because this is going to turn sharp on a couple of corners and you may fall out, okay? Prayer. First of all, prayer is not for you or me. Prayer is for God. Can I say it again? Prayer is not for you or me. Prayer is for God. And I know immediately you're saying, I don't know what he said then, but I'm not sure I agree with it. That's okay. That's okay. Prayer is for God. Prayer is only by those who are related to God. Jesus taught us how to pray on what's called the model prayer. It's not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer over in John 17. But in the model prayer, who did he say? After this manner pray ye, our Father. Now, if that doesn't communicate relationship, I don't know what can. Our Father, the only people who are going to pray are those who are related to Him as Father. You with me? So prayer is for God, not for us. And prayer is only by those who are related to God. Now, prayer, if you'll accept, and not we go back through all the scripture, we could, would, maybe should, but you want to get to El Rodeo before they serve the evening meal, so we'll start. Prayer has five parts. Okay, five parts. There's praise. Praise is certainly a part of prayer. Who is praise for? You can say it. God. Huh, okay. Prayer is for God, not for us. So praise is for God, and praise is one of the facets of prayer. Thanksgiving is also a part of prayer. Who are we thanking? God. 2 out of 5, not bad, okay? All right? And then we have intercession. All right? Praise, thanksgiving, intercession. Mouth's getting dry. Who are we interceding for? Not us. We are interceding for someone else. And who is going to get the glory for that? God is. All right? So intercession is not for us. It's for someone else, but ultimately it's that God be glorified by what he's going to do in that life. All right? And then the last two, you said, hey, I'm holding the high cards. I know, I've got them, and you're just going to mess up here, Bubba. Okay? The last two are confession and petition. First of all, confession. Part of prayer is confession. What do we confess when we confess? Sin. Okay? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Okay? That's the promise, 1 John chapter 1. All right? So if we confess our sins, he said, well, that's got to be about us. Hold it. What does the confession of sin restore? Fellowship. We are related to him by his justifying act of forgiving us of our sin. Then when we sin, we are not in fellowship with him any longer, meaning that when, well, one, we don't want to pray, but the fellowship is not there. Fellowship and relationship are not the same thing. And so when we sin, fellowship is broken, but what happens when we confess those sins? He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and fellowship is restored with him. Fellowship is for him, because he will not fellowship with us if there is sin, unconfessed sin in our life. It's forgiven, but it's breaking fellowship. So I would submit to you, confession is for God also to restore the fellowship that was broken because of our sin. And then the last one, the last facet of prayer is petition. Petition is where we pray or ask him, and he said, I know, I was waiting on that one. I got you here. I got you here. Petition, that's when you ask for the stuff that you want, right? Thank you, brother. Cup of cold water, okay? Wouldn't you like to have that guy's reward, huh? I needed that a long time ago. And I will not tell you his name. He slipped out unannounced, okay? A cup of water, you know, okay. All right. Petition. You know, petition is where we ask him for something. All right? Okay, nothing wrong with that. It's a part of prayer, okay? But now, the petition is not for us. The petition, what we ask for, is not for us. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. What does that have to pass through before he gives it to us? His will.
and our abiding in Him. It's not for us, it's for His purpose as He works His purpose out through our lives. The reason that this prayer is for Him and not us, and the reason that He accepts our prayer, is because we pray in whose name? In Jesus' name. Now be careful here, and don't think anything you tag His name onto, He's got to do it for you. I want $1 million in Jesus' name. Got to do it. No. That's not it, okay? We pray in Jesus' name because He is our intercessor. And He has already told us that if we abide in Him and His words abide in us, ask what you will. What we pray will be His will if we abide in Him and His words abide in us. You will not ask for anything that is outside of His will if you meet those two conditions that Jesus established in John 15. He said in John 14, "Whatsoever you ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father will be glorified in the Son." We kind of got moved to the back of the line on that, didn't we? You get that? Jesus said, "Whatsoever you ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Folks, petition is for God also, that He be glorified by what He's doing in our lives. You say, "Well, when do I get to bring my list?" You don't have a list. He's all you need. He's all you need. Back to that will of God. 1 John 5, you've heard me quote this one too often. No, so often. Too often, we never run out. Whatever we ask in true prayer, okay? You see, there's prayer that's just us mumbling, okay? There's prayer where that's about what it is, just words, okay? Banging off the roof or something. And then there is prayer that's heard by God. 1 John 5:14-15. Said that this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, how do we know His will? If we abide in Him and His words abide in us, that if we ask anything according to His will, next phrase is powerful, He hears us. There is nowhere in the Word that says that God hears every prayer that's prayed. In fact, I would guess maybe He doesn't hear most. That's just my whatever, okay? But this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us, and we know His will before we ask Him. And we know that if He hears us, John continues, then we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. You see why this thing of prayer is a spiritual sacrifice? We are asking God, giving God permission to be God in our lives. That's what he's talking about here, Peter. Praise and prayer are certainly two of these spiritual sacrifices that will be acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Do I need to go back over something? Because this is pretty important. It's pretty important if you're a child of God to know how the Scripture teaches you to pray. All right? And I want to tell you something. You pray as not what Wheeler says, but as the Scripture teaches you, and your life is going to another level spiritually. And you're going to start seeing prayer answered in your life on a regular and ongoing basis, because really it's not your prayer after all. You see? Do you see now why you're not getting a lot of stuff you asked for through the years? You say, "Well, I was serious about that, you know? You see why it didn't happen? This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if He hears us, then we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. He is only going to do that in our lives in response to our prayer that glorifies His name. Okay? Are you getting to feel pretty special right now? You should. Living stones. Royal priesthood. Able to talk to God in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. You see, as living stones, as holy priests, it is our responsibility, our job, if you will, to continuously be offering spiritual sacrifices. I think, personally, there would need to be a strategic time on a day-by-day basis when you and the Father meet. I would suggest that be early, since you don't have to blow off the whole day and then come back and, you know, get, you know, start off that way, okay? Start off that way. All the stuff that you're anticipating and the stuff that you don't know about, talk it over with Him. And by that I mean you talk to Him, He talks to you. Okay? And He will head you off from some stuff that you were going to think about doing. He's going to say, we're not going to do that. Okay? If you start that, then as you go throughout your day, okay, the Scripture teaches us, pray without ceasing. What does that mean? It means pray without ceasing. In the Greek too, I imagine, Brian, don't you? Pray without ceasing. That means continuously be in communication with Him. You say, well, you can't do that. Yes, you can. How do you think these guys did it? Huh? Do you think God would put something in His Word they didn't really mean? He said, this will trick them. No! He means what He says. He says what He means. He said to pray without ceasing. He said to us, ask, seek. You know that one that Jesus taught us about? Ask, seek, and knock. I know that, like me, you probably thought that meant stuff. Okay? He's not talking about stuff there. Ask, Father, what is Your will? Seek. Where do you seek His will? In His Word. Jesus said, so if My words abide in you, and you, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, ask what you will. Okay? And then knock. Once you know His will, you keep knocking until He responds according to the way He's going to. See how it all fits together? See why prayer is so important? You see why prayer, along with praise, would be these spiritual sacrifices He wants from us. Can we give Him anything else that He would want or need? You think that $10 bill you may put in the box this morning is going to wow Him? You might get His attention if it's your last $10 bill. It did the widow there, remember? She just put in two mites, a lot less than a $10 bill. That caught Jesus' attention. But you can't put enough in that box back there, or the offering plate, or send it to whomever that's going to get God's attention. You don't have that much money. Nobody does. Bill Gates couldn't wow God. Bill Gates couldn't go home today. I doubt if he does. I wish he would, okay? Go home and say, okay, I am bequeathing everything I have and own, all $78 billion to God. God said, really? That doesn't impress me, Bill. You know how much I have, Bill? You see, we want to put God down on our level and think we're just really doing something fancy or noteworthy, and He's not after the stuff. He's after the spiritual sacrifices. That's what pleases Him. And you and I can give those to Him for free.
Let's pray. Father, I'm humbled when you would refer to me, and others in this room are humbled when you refer to them as living stones. Because we know that you said about your only begotten Son, who you sent to die for the sins of the world, that would be rejected by men, that he is the living stone. And you are laying us alongside as your heirs and joint heirs with Jesus, and you're calling us living stones. And then, Lord, you identify us as holy priest, one who can go to you on behalf of other people. And then you've even told us what the sacrifices that we are to make that will be acceptable by you. Spiritual sacrifices. Lord, why would we ever be satisfied with such a mundane, boring existence like we muddle through week after week after week? Open our eyes today, Lord, that we would first see who we are, so that we can see who you are. Thank you. Thank you that you have chosen to make us priests unto God. In Jesus' name.